The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
When you come to Little Nassau,
rub your belly and dance the gombe.
Do like you see the Bahamians do,
rub your belly and dance the gombe.
Show your button all over the floor,
rub your belly and dance the gombe.
Good yawning this morning, and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. I'm excited to be here this morning. I'm in love with gombe music. It's just a good time to be alive. It is Thursday, the 6th of October, 2022, and you are on the clock with Erin Green. On the clock, we engage organizations, institutions, social and cultural leaders, and ordinary people to better understand the impact of public policy, private sector development, and emerging social and consumer trends. On the clock, we have conversations that help us understand and navigate a rapidly changing Bahamas. Good morning, good morning, good morning. That song we heard just now was Dance the Gombe. I think that version is by Charlie Adamson. So today I am expecting guests in studio. We are just waiting for them to arrive. I've got a playlist because, of course, it's Culture Thursday. And what I'm hoping on this playlist is I have a bunch of songs that the majority of us have never, ever heard before. As we wait for our guests, I could just talk a bit about what is in the news. I wanted to play the How Bahamian Are You game show. And you know what? I was supposed to, and I'm going to, create a Living in the Bahamas edition, right? Living in the Bahamas edition. Like, might as well call it like the BPL edition. Like, when do you cook Sunday dinner? Do you cook it Saturday night while the power is still on? Or do you cook it on Sunday and go to bed praying that the power will be on? I even got questions for little children, right? Do you do your homework at school before you go home? Because you're not sure if the power is going to be off? On, right? Or do you go home and then go to the park to do your homework because you know there'll be light on the park? Boy, BPL is still deep in the news this morning, and this is important. First of all, energy is one of the basic utilities, one of the amenities that we need to live in this society. And I know a whole lot of old heads, and I don't just mean older people, but people with a sort of fundamentalist perspective may say, oh, no, you live by the word of God alone. That's what you must rely on. But I have to say that in 2022, we have created a world where people cannot live. They cannot engage in employment. They can't go to school. You know, there are things that you just can't do, not just without access to electricity, but without a consistent access to electricity. And perhaps, I want to put it like this. I want to call on something that our Haitian brothers and sisters, our Haitian cousins have taught us. And what they've taught us is that the solution is very simple. That people must live in the good condition. Right? The solution is simple. People must live in the good condition. And not just one person. Right? People, us, the collective. We must live in the good condition. And that means everybody got to live in the good condition. In fact, I'm going to argue that if we don't all have access to basic amenities in life, the basic needs, then none of us can live in the good condition. None of us will be able to experience that. I got a text here quickly that says, great show as usual. You forgot in 2022, people don't cook. They go to KFC. I didn't forget. This is a part of the discussion, right? Because normally when we say that, we sort of dissing those people, right? We say, oh, look how foolish they are or greedy they are or, you know, they lack sense. They don't understand. That doesn't make any sense. But actually, when you realize that people are paying, given the current pay scale, the minimum wage, right, and the state of the economy, people are paying exorbitant amounts of money for rent, and the units don't come with sensible size amenities like refrigerators. They don't come with stoves, right? People live in conditions, in environments where they cannot secure their gas tank, or the landlord who actually owns the property will not construct a mechanism to keep the gas tank safe from theft, right? We live in a place where we have a gas tank theft crisis. I know today we're going to talk about that. What does the word crisis mean? Because we a lot of us are differing on it. We don't have a police unit dedicated to that. So it turns out that there are lots of reasons why someone in 2022 goes to KFC. When you're living in a house, maybe with three or four families, because this is a reality in post-pandemic time, you may still only have one or two refrigerators in the house, which means that you're still only able to store minimal things, right? If you're living in a space where you have little control over your things, you're living in a house with a number of elderly Bahamians, older than you, right? And you live in a culture where we don't really respect your authority as a person younger than me. So I go in the kitchen and take your things and cook with it. And then I'm not going to replace it, and I'm not going to tell you that I used all of it. Right? So you stop buying and storing these things. People want the food to taste good, but they can't afford to buy the ingredients necessary to make it taste that good at home. They don't have housing options that make this a viable thing. Another reason why people are still going to the fast food restaurants is because they are spending roughly an hour and a half in the morning commuting and an hour to an hour and a half in the evening commuting. That's 2 to 3 hours out of your day. When are they supposed to cook? When are they supposed to prep these meals? You see, when we look at this article in the front of the Tribune today, make sure you buy the Guardian. Then you buy Tribune. On the front of the Tribune today, the headline says, BPL is on the precipice of financial fallout. So let's talk about what a crisis means. You know, BPL is on the precipice of financial fallout. See, I don't believe that. I don't believe that. Because if they were on the precipice of financial fallout, then we would have seen a difference in the financing in the company. And I mean specifically, we would have seen discussions about executive and administrative staff negotiating pay cuts. You can't be on the precipice of a financial fallout, because nothing in your operations suggests that you understand that you don't have enough cash to operate and you need to reduce expenditure. And you could start by cutting the salaries of people who are not producing anything but headaches for the Bahamian people. See, it's not just that y'all are in debt and on the verge of falling apart. It's that you keep trying to convince us that everything is okay. Or you kept trying to convince us. And in a sense, you still are trying to convince us that everything is okay because nobody has taken a pay cut at BPL yet. And by nobody, I mean nobody in the administrative and executive levels of the company. And I do mean ministers as well. Those who are ultimately responsible, not just CEOs. But see, that's just general, like, that's just sort of a general critique. Like, it's obvious over the last 30 plus years that you have been unable to deliver what it is you advertise, right? But then we step into another realm where it becomes obvious that you know you're not doing that and you attempt to hide it from us. I am just saying that I put on the table a long time that everybody at BPL should take a cut until we figure out, first of all, where is the report? Where's the investigation, the report on the fire at BPL? Was that 2018? We can't be the people. And then I read something in here that just... I have something in my notes that just made me almost fall off my chair. But we're going to stick a pin. Let me get to the text. Oh, wow. That, okay. I meant to ask yesterday, but can Judah the Lion do a remix of that song you played yesterday? This remix would extend the falsetto and speed rapping portions of the song, less of the straight rap portion. I think he'd have an international hit. Beautiful of song. Ministry of Tourism, you said you want to grow the orange economy. You don't need Broadway. Start with a $20,000 investment in that song. Bring Sketch along for production too. All right, text is Culture Thursday. That's why I love this text, and I sort of did it to you. I played the song yesterday. It's a great text. Did you know that Judah the Lion is classically trained, like European classic? Not, he's probably African classically trained too, you know. But he's classically trained, and he plays bossa nova as well. And I think that that wide range of experience is what informs, right? What shapes his production, what he produces. So powerful, awesome, awesome performer. Now, at the same time, I want to touch on that thing you said, Ministry of Tourism, you don't need Broadway. That's something I wanted to talk about as well, you know. I was trying to organize some creatives to come in to studio with me to have that conversation. Let's touch on it briefly. No, you don't need Broadway per se, because we have Broadway. Right, and that's what it is. We don't need necessarily to go to Broadway like the government. We have people who are on Broadway. They've been on Broadway. And they are ours to help us grow and inform our product. It's about a shift in perspective, right? When you understand that culture is primarily for you, not for tourists. Well, listen, guys, what a surprise. So my guest is in studio. And we get to have this wonderful conversation. Kermit, take us, if you can, take us to a break with one of these songs on the playlist. And when we get back from the break, I'm going to introduce to you my guest. Listen, he made an effort to get here. I could see that. And he laughing because he ain't bring my food with him. Anyway, you guys, this song is called Bahamas Going Independent by Babalu and his headhunters. Now listen, I found a song last night, guys. I've never heard it before except for last night. This is definitely a political song. I just want to say to all y'all old heads, why y'all just hide these classics from us? We need to make a connection across the generations, people. Us young people, we need you. Y'all younger people, us mid-heads, not old heads, mid-heads, we need y'all too. We need to reach across the generations. Thank you, producer. Stay tuned to On the Clock with Aaron Green. We'll be right back. Bahamas Green Independent. Bahamas Green Independent. Hey!
used to think of the bank as my personal ATM machine. If I wanted a new car, new furniture, a weekend trip to Miami, no problem. Just max out the credit card or top up my loan. I was a big baller until I realized that 75% of my salary was going to pay back all those loans. Fidelity's personal financial coaching was the best solution. Fidelity gave me a plan with a debt consolidation loan that has a built-in savings that pays 5% interest. I now only have one low monthly payment, plus money in my pocket. Give Fidelity Bank a call at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit any of Fidelity's locations or visit a website at fidelitygroup.com.
No matter who I marry, no matter where my wife gives birth, our children will be Bahamian, like me.
If I marry a man who's not Bahamian, I have to give birth in the Bahamas, or my children won't even be Bahamian like I am.
That don't even make sense.
That's why we had the referendum in 2016.
But the people vote no.
The government can still do something about it with ordinary legislation. And it needs to develop an action plan and timeline to hold another referendum to deal with gender inequality in the Constitution.
Oh, we can make that happen.
Go to tiny.cc/nationality to support the campaign for equal nationality rights by Equality Bahamas.
Morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. You are on the clock with Erin Green. And listen, I found... Did y'all know that Grand Bahama have junk canoe? Y'all, did y'all know that Grand Bahama have junk canoe? I sit there and that's all I didn't know. Okay, that song. I think that's the Platinum Knights, Junk Canoe, from 2022 season, 8 Mile Rock. Right? And they was about to get into that melody just now. And this is the other one. This is Swingers. Dear Swingers Junkanoo Group from Grand Bahama, 8 Mile Rock. I was not dissing y'all. I just didn't know y'all had Junkanoo like this in Grand Bahama. This is off the chain. So when y'all get a chance, go online, look for Swingers Junkanoo Unity Rush Out 2022. Even though we ain't all get out on the road for 2022, Junkanoo is unfolding and these Junkanoo groups are out there doing their thing. I also have to talk to the Valley. I just want to know who gave them permission to go back on bay. That's all. Now, a message from BTC. BTC bundle customers, you just got a free speed bump. That's right. The fastest and most reliable fiber internet in the Bahamas is now up to 3 times faster for free. Here's how we're bumping up your current speeds. If you have the Extreme 100 Plus Talk 24/7 bundle, your speeds are going from 100 to 300 Mbps. If you have the Extreme 100 Plus TV Max bundle, you're going from 100 to 300 Mbps. And if you have the Extreme 150 plus Talk 24/7 plus TV Max bundle, you're jumping from 150 to 300 Mbps. Nothing to do, just keep doing you. This message is brought to you by BTC. Okay, guys, joining me in studio this morning is Chef Kulma from Tropical Gyros. Good morning, sir.
Well, good morning, Aaron. How are you?
I am good, thank you. And today we are going to be talking about this investment opportunity to be a part of the Tropical Gyros Empire.
Well, from your lips to God's ears. Thank you very much.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Absolutely.
Yes.
Local franchise.
Local franchise, locally created brand. We're looking to, make our expansion in the Bahamas. And then from there, we're looking to go international.
Absolutely. I'm going to get a little political right now. I want to say to all my friends who are revolutionaries and are thinking about sovereignty and freedom, right? And what it means to be free and independent. Well, what it means is that you commit to valuing the things that you can grow and growing the things that you value. And establishing and operating local franchises mm-hmm. with local ideas and local food,
yes.
that's a part of that journey.
Yes, it is. Yes, yeah. it is. You know, one of the things that we're proud about is that, you know, we feel that we've been able, we've created a brand that can compete on the international stage, right? We feel that everything that we're doing now, every step that we've taken from the time that I launched this in 2015, every step that I've made with the sole purpose of branding Tropical Gyros to become an international-style franchise, so similar to the McDonald's, the KFCs, the Wendy's, all the Subways,
mm-hmm.
because there's no reason why we can't. We have brilliant minds in this country, brilliant talent in this country, and creativity, especially in the culinary arts. And so hopefully my journey can inspire other people.
Yes.
To step forward and do the same type of thing.
Absolutely. Now let's get to the investing.
Yes.
All right. What do I need to do to invest and how do I do it?
Okay. The first thing you need to do is to go onto arawakx.com.
Okay.
And when you go onto arawakx.com, you will look for the Tropical Gyros portal and you open that up.
Okay.
On that portal, we have all of our, you know, our business plan, our prospectus. We even have our financials for the past 5 years. We have projected financials moving forward that shows what we expect to do, of course, over the next 3 to 5 years with the expansion. And so it gives you a good history, a good historical information on Tropical Gyros if you didn't know much about Tropical Gyros, mm-hmm. okay? So this gives you a good base understanding of who we are as a company, who I am with regards to my abilities and what I've done in the culinary field, and also how the company has performed. I think that's very important, to mm-hmm. look how the company's performed over the first 5 years of its existence at Rosetta Street, because
okay.
that's when we first opened up.
And so some of your quote-unquote financials are
they
available?
They are there. I have them all there.
Awesome.
I have all the financials, all, you know, created by
my mommy has asked me to invest in her all the time, but she refused to let me see her books.
No, it's important. It's important if you're investing in any company that you'll be able to see their performance, you know?
Yeah.
And one of the things that we're so proud about, this opportunity, our shares are $9 a share, by the
okay.
way. So the valuation wasn't done by me. The valuation is done by ArawakX and their brilliant minds, okay? They give you the guideline by which the basis by which they formulated our valuation, okay?
Right.
So you know when people watch Shark Tank, well, how did you, the sharks always, how did you come up with that valuation? So ArawakX lays it out there in the business plan as to how it is that they came to the valuation that they did.
Okay.
And so we were offering 10% share, 10% of the company at this present time through shares. And it's $9 a share, minimum purchase of 4 shares, so $36 investment. You know, and one of the things that I've heard you talk about many times on your program as well is owning part of the economy, getting mm-hmm. people to understand the importance of not just being a consumer,
yeah.
but being a consumer with something in the back end. And so a lot of our investors so far, and I think over 1,000 people have signed up to invest in Tropical Gyros, which is a great validation for our product, and I'm humbled by it. And
yeah.
I want to say to all those that have invested and signed up to pledge, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I truly appreciate it, and I'm humbled by that.
And Tropical Gyros provides an essential product in the market, which is quick, easy,
healthy
walking
correct.
Food.
Yes, yes,
it enables people to get from work to lunch and back in a reasonable amount of time.
Yes.
And that's valuable.
Yes, it is. And, you know, one of the things that we're doing to even expedite that is we're in the process of developing an app that allows our customers to order and pay online.
Okay.
So that they can actually walk in, pick up, and go.
All right.
And so we are really developing that because we understand, look, I understand the time constraints.
Yeah.
You know, I was trying to get here for 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
You know, and boom, 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 hustling, moving around. And so on a person's lunch hour, you know, they don't have 30, 40, 45 minutes to wait for food.
Right.
And so we are trying everything that we can to ensure that we can move them in and out even quicker than we are now. But you touched on a part that I'd really like to talk, which is the healthy component.
Mm-hmm.
You know, our salads have become very, very popular now with both male and female. Initially, it was just a lot of females eating salads, but males are now recognizing the healthy component of that.
Mm-hmm.
I had a lady, a teacher from C.H. Reeves, who actually lost 65 pounds eating our salad every day.
What?
Okay.
And I know a guy who gained 180 pounds. The ladies were like, hey, look at him.
Yeah.
He's attractive. He found a whole wife.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yes.
Awesome.
So you know, we do the deep fried offerings with the crack conch and the crack lobster, okay? But 90% of our food is cooked on a grill. It's char broiled, okay?
Right.
So less grease, healthier option, okay? And so if those who might not want the bread, with the pini bread, you can get the food, all the proteins on our salads.
Right.
You know, my wife eats a salad every day. My mom is now eating the salad every day, and she's seeing her weight loss as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, other people are commenting on that. So we feel that not only are we giving a great-tasting product, we're also giving a healthier option. You know, we're not going to move away from fried foods.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's just the nature of our environment. And our culinary taste. However, we're giving options now. So instead of eating fried food every day, come and eat a tropical gyro salad today. And then tomorrow go and get your fried chicken if that's the case.
Yeah.
Right? If that's what you so choose. But if you so choose to eat a gyro and a salad every day, hey, we're here to help you.
And sort of relating back to another text who's like, why do people eat fast food every day? It's because of the difficulty in accommodating all of the dynamics and putting together a healthy plate.
Mm-hmm.
But imagine that you know that there's a place where you could get that salad a day that your doctor mm-hmm. recommended
mm-hmm.
without worrying about all the moving parts.
Yes.
Go to your spot, you know, to get a plethora, mm-hmm. a ton of choices.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's your salad spot.
Yes.
And then you could eat the... Don't tell the doctor I say this. Eat the other stuff later.
And we also have a gyro bowl now where we do a tropical peas and rice with the meat and a salad and plantain. So all in one with a drink. And so, you know, we have really pushed forward to, and I say we because I'm a team. You know, mm-hmm. I have a team of employees that have worked diligently, my wife and the other people that are assisting me in pushing tropical gyros forward. So, you know, we think of ourselves as a team, mm-hmm. right? And so we are trying to bring about an understanding of we can eat differently, okay, and cost effective. You know, mm. I haven't, even in this challenging time, I haven't raised my prices.
Yeah.
I've kept my prices stable because I look at it and I say, okay, you know, yes, it may be necessary to go up, but, you know, because our sales have increased, so where I've lost maybe some on my cost of goods going up, my labor cost has come down a bit because we're using the same amount of labor, but we're generating more revenue.
Yeah.
Okay? And so this way, we've able to balance that out and make a smart business decision. You know, when people are investing in the company, they want to make sure that the CEO and the company is going to think about their profit, their investment, to ensure mm-hmm. they get a return on their investment. So we do analyze the market trend, see what's happening. And so as long as we keep our sales at the level they're at, we don't need to raise our prices,
yeah.
right? Because our labor then offsets the increase in cost of goods. So these are things that we look at. And I challenge everybody to, hey, listen, if you're looking for a passive stream of income, if you're looking for a way to increase your revenue stream, look at tropical gyros.
But listen, tropical is a strong stock, right? So
yes.
I don't have a problem getting, but I'm looking for the perks. What I want to know is when I break down on the side of the road, I'm waiting for the tire man to come fix me up. The tropical gyros delivery could get there with my, you know,
listen, you call us,
stockholder
we'll get it.
Preferred
oh, yeah.
customer.
Listen, as a shareholder preference, yeah. if you on the side of the road and you say, listen, this is Aaron, I'm stuck. Can I get something delivered to me while I'm waiting for the tire man to fix my tire? Where are you located? Send a GPS. We're coming to you.
You're looking okay? And this is great. Tire man, I go order one for you too.
There you go.
Hurry up, get, okay, now. Are these the things that you're working on in the production lab?
Well,
tell us about the production
okay.
lab.
So the production center, in order to expand any business and keep it consistent, in the food mm-hmm. business, the difficulty with multiple locations is consistency of product. So we always knew that in order to advance tropical gyros, I needed a production and distribution center. Okay,
yeah.
So we're building that out now in JFK. Okay, in the plaza, right next to where our second unit is going to be. And so that all of our sauces, seasonings, everything will be done there and just shipped out to the locations to cook and prepare.
Okay.
So at the locations, there'll be no seasoning, no anything. All the people have to do is just basically put the stuff on the grill, cook it,
right.
and make the sandwich.
And you're reducing costs
by reducing
production space in the shop.
Exactly.
You got more space for customers
exactly.
to come in and
exactly.
line up with a nice
yes.
You see, I have on my T-shirt.
Yes.
This is dedicated to my campaign. Bahamians to resist the Bahamian urge to jam upon one another. But, you know, this helps us to accommodate the space.
Yes, it does. And this, the location at the JFK Plaza, It's going to have a lot of space, and okay. There's even a few seats and a little, you know, a counter space for people to sit down. So we're planning to put a few tables because we know, like on Sundays, when you know we'll be open on Sunday at that location, because we know church time, people after church looking for some place to sit down and eat, and there's a church right in the plaza.
Yeah.
So we want to be able to accommodate them.
So I was going to ask.
Oh yes.
Why you chose out there? I don't have a problem. Out there is very very nice. Dual carriageways on both sides of the road. I live mid-east, right?
Right.
People in the west think that your current location is east.
Right.
That's just kind of central.
I know.
Why you didn't come out to the deep east?
We're looking, Aaron, to come out to the east, right?
Yeah.
You know, we had tried an expansion out there in 2019. But, you know, that was the time when BPR was having major power issues.
Yeah, yeah.
And the electricity was cutting off like every day for 4 or 5 hours. So I just shut it down.
Yeah.
But we are looking to come out east, but we want to stabilize ourselves with the second location in the production distribution center first, see how things work out all the kinks. But we are looking at east. Okay. I already have an idea where.
No man, I love it. There are lots of working people in that area that need healthier options, and I'm not to say they're unhealthy, but we all need healthier options. And the students as well, like that after-school run, parents could stop in, get them something healthy, get them to their next destination, and trust that they're going to be good.
I like that corridor. That corridor, because of the ease by which you can get to and fro in that corridor, you know, you ask, like, why that particular location? Well, there's a lot of businesses there, and it's a transfer point for people heading out west on the way home. We got a lot of situations where people say, man, I want to come and get something before I go home, but I can't get to y'all in Palmdale before you close at 6.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to be open till 8 o'clock at JFK. So it gives people more time to come. You know, you got Staple in there. You got all the businesses. You got the university. So people can hop in their car, come up there.
Yeah, I almost going to call discrimination closing at 6 in the east, but I got 2 hours extra to get out there.
Yeah, in Palmdale, yeah. Well, you know, Palmdale shuts down, right?
Yeah.
And so it becomes, we used to stay open till 7. But I start getting, because most of my staff in the front are women in the front line.
Yeah,
and so I just felt from a safety perspective, you know, let me forego that extra hour for the safety of my staff as best as possible.
No, and that's understandable, right? That market targets the work day, and this new space, it intends to extend beyond that food culture.
Right.
This is awesome.
Yeah.
This is awesome. Okay, get a couple of texts here. I have been a Tropical Gyro customer for years. Your Palmdale employees know me by name. But I'm asking you, I call in, I'm asking you all to focus on us call-in-ers as much as you do on the walk-in-ers.
Well, okay, I'm going to be honest. I feel that the majority of our sales right now are actually call-ins.
Okay.
Yes. So, like yesterday, for instance, and this is why I'm asking my developers to speed up the process on this app to be able to, for people like this texture, to order and pay online. Because when I was in and out, and the line to the register was filled with people with bags in their hand waiting to pay.
Yeah.
So, you know, and I looked at them and I said, and I explained to them, I said, look, we're in the process of doing this app so that we can get you guys in and out here a lot quicker.
Mm-hmm.
So I understand. And we now put a new telephone WhatsApp line available for them. So that's 465-1219.
465-1219.
So in addition to the 601-5752 number, they can now call 465-1219 or WhatsApp their order through that process, because we're getting a lot of people. They'll call my number many times, and I always take the call. And my number, if you can't get into any of those numbers, my number is 565-1076. Okay, so that's 565-1076. If you have any difficulties reaching those two to put an order in, or if you have a complaint or something that you need to say, you can reach me. I believe that as an owner of a restaurant, as a chef, that we need to stand by our product and stand by our service. And so I will always entertain and listen to any complaints or concerns that the customer has to try to correct it. Because if we don't know that a problem exists from a customer's perspective, I cannot fix it.
Absolutely. I got another text here. Please tell Chef Kevin Culmer, founder of Tropical Gyro and the great folks of Arawak X Investment Platform, to give us further 1 or 2 month extension to invest more in Tropical Gyro. I was about to say, I'm looking at my son right now and telling him, buddy, I may have to sell you to invest in Tropical Gyro.
But yeah, I wish it was that easy, but no, the Security Exchange Board is very, this industry is extremely regulated, especially as it's new. And so in order to get the extension from September 7th to October 7th, there was a lot of hoops that Arawak X had to jump through. So unfortunately, it's going to close tomorrow.
I
think maybe at 5 o'clock tomorrow, I believe.
Okay.
Maybe at 5 o'clock. I don't know. It could be midnight. I'll have to find out and then I'll let you know, Aaron.
Right.
But, you know, at some point we will probably come back to the crowd, because I think what's important for people to also see, because it's new, Bahamians are very reluctant in some of the companies coming out. Do I trust putting my money there? Are they going to say do what they say they're going to do? And I can say to people, hey, come down to JFK. Yes. We're building out our second location. We're building out the production distribution center. We're doing exactly what we said we were going to do with the money that we received from our investors.
Awesome.
So, you know, I think it's very important that people see that the transparency, you know, we talk about, on here you talk about the government being transparent and open to its citizens on how the money is spent. It's the same as a private company, as a public company now, even more so, to be very transparent to our investors and say, hey, yes, your $36, your $36,000 is being used like this, and it's being used for what we said it was going to be used for, and I think that's important.
Absolutely. I want to invest in a company that invests in its employees, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to get mad at employees for being slow, but I want to know that establishments, for me to support an establishment, it's not about whether the customer, the employee could be a little slow, they could even be a little rude.
Mm-hmm.
It's about whether the people in charge are making the commitments to growing the whole product, including the staff.
You know, it's very important. You know, none of my staff are paid minimum wage. They're paid well above minimum wage.
Look how I'm going to have to go find me this job.
So, you know, I don't ever... You know, I've never started my staff at minimum wage.
Yeah.
Never.
Awesome.
Okay? Never from the time I started. You know, and I got a lot of backlash from financial advisors in the beginning. I said, no, look, you know, I know how expensive it is out here to live, right? And so, yes, the company makes a little bit less profit, but the staff at least feel like they can compete and can at least pay, you know.
Feel like real people.
Feel like, you know, and so we don't, I think I start people right now at $7 an hour.
Okay.
All right. You know, and I got staff. You know, they're doing okay. We can always do better.
Yeah.
You know, and
this is part of the process of improving that environment.
And so what we're looking at doing, you know, moving forward, you know, is we're going to be putting in incentive programs to allow staff to share in whatever profits might make. So, for instance, if we say to our managers, listen, we need to bring the labor cost in at 22% in order for the business to be profitable, and they're able to bring it in through sales and getting people in and out quicker to bring it in at 20%, then that 2% difference will be shared amongst our staff as a bonus, right? And so I think it's important that people understand, if they're thinking about investment like you were talking about, that, look, we care about our staff. You know, we work with our staff. My staff can come to me. You know, they can talk to me about anything. They can talk to my wife about anything, you know. You know, we are in the business. We are, you know, trying to operate a business. And so, you know, staff, everybody understands that. But at the same time, you know, I also understand that our staff have problems too.
Mm-hmm.
Our staff have difficulties and challenges just the same way as we do as business owners. And so if we are able to assist our staff to at least navigate those issues a little bit better, we try to do the best we can to do so.
Absolutely. And listen, I'm glad that I asked these questions, because this is the sort of company I want to invest in, because it don't matter. Look here, the food may not be consistent every day.
Mm-hmm.
The customer service may not be consistent every day, but you still get a sense that people care and they're trying. And that's what makes people commit to a product and to a company.
I think so. I think that, you know, like, when, you know, every time when I see the customers in there, you know, and sometimes they're waiting because it's busy. I say, you know, I say, no, they're busting their butt back there. Trust me, they're not sitting down, you know, listening to rap music or on their phones. They're trying to get your orders out as fast as possible. And they say, yeah, chef, we see them hustling and we see them moving, you know. And so the staff, I have a great crew of people working for me.
Okay? Absolutely.
And, you know, we're in the process now, you know, of reviewing resumes because we're looking to hire about 25 more persons. Uh-huh. Okay? And so we're in the process, and my wife is going through resumes as we speak, trying to find some good people. We're looking to see if we can do a job fair at UB to sit down with some of the culinary students, the hospitality students, to see if maybe, you know, you might want to come and get some work done here. It's something
I gain experience.
Yes, I spoke to Chef Eddie Sanders, actually, in the food store. It's a classmate of mine. I said, look, you know, let's look at how we could have a symbiotic relationship where some of your students who are trying to become cooks can come in and get some practical experience that can assist them.
Right. I was just on a scene today, and I wanted to call John Taffer, that's his name, Taffer, from Bar Rescue.
Okay.
You know, because the staff just needed more motivation.
Right.
Right, in a high-stress environment. They just need a little bit more motivation, you know, and he gets it.
Yes, he gets people, you know, and so a lot of times I'll come and I'll crack jokes with my staff, you know.
Yeah.
They know that sometimes if things aren't done the way that I want them to do, I might get a little bit ornery, and then 2 minutes later I'm smiling and laughing, you know, because my thing is, look, every customer is important that walks through that door or calls on the telephone. I try to implore my staff to recognize that every customer that calls us and walks through the door is responsible for their salary.
Mm-hmm.
Without them, we have no business.
Yeah. I got a text here that says, listen, tell Chef Culmer that his customer service is great because customer service in Nassau sucks generally.
Thank you. I truly appreciate that.
Absolutely. Producer, you playing some music? All right. We're going to go to a break. And when we come back from the break, Chef Culmer, if you could stay with me for 2 minutes,
let's
play the How Bahamian Are You game show.
Okay.
You guys stay tuned to Radio Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. You're on the clock, and we'll be right back.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Here we go. J.S. Johnson Insurance agents are the best. Reliable service, we've been on the scene, protecting since 1919. J.S. Johnson Insurance has the best, always. You're always calling me. J.S. Johnson Insurance, peace of mind.
Unequal gender nationality law is a violation of human rights and a failure of the government to meet its obligations. In 2018, the CEDAW Committee told the Bahamas to set a clear time frame for constitutional reform, to integrate the principle of gender equality into all laws, and to amend the Bahamas Nationality Act 1973 for Bahamian women and men to transmit citizenship on an equal basis. Join Equality Bahamas in demanding action now. Visit tiny.cc/nationality for more.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Gumbaya, gumbaya, gumbaya. 96.9 FM, you're on the clock with Aaron Green. And for the last few minutes of the show, we are going to play the How Bahamian Are You game. But just before that, I got a text for you.
Okay.
Repeat the sign-up information for us.
No problem. Arawak, go to arawakx.com. And once you get on the platform, look for the Tropical Gyros portal, open it up, read through it, and then there's a button that says Invest. If you have any issues getting onto the platform or loading up your documents, please give me a call at 565-1076, and I will ensure that someone from Tropical from Arawak X will give you a call immediately.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay, sir. Are you ready? This is the How Bahamian Are You game show.
All right.
First question, chicken in the bag or conch snack?
Conch snack.
Why?
I like conch.
You don't like chicken?
Yeah, chicken. I like chicken, but, you know, I can go for the conch first.
Okay. All right, next one. Cookout or church fair?
Cookout.
Why?
I don't know. I guess more entertaining for me.
Yeah? You don't like the cake? I like church fair because there's always a rap. There's always a bingo.
And a hoopla.
A hoopla.
I used to like the hooplas back in the days. Yeah.
Yeah. Hoopla is the thing. You want to see some tussling and bustling? Try squeezing the hoop. Okay. Baked crab or crab and dough?
I don't really like crab, period. But if I had to take one of the two, I would take baked crab. I don't really like crab and dough.
Okay. In the shell or out the shell?
In the shell.
Okay.
Yeah, take it in the shell.
Now, here's a question.
Okay.
You think for it to really be baked crab, it'd have to be in the shell, right? Like
I think so.
I want to tell these other people this is an imposter.
Yeah, keep it in the shell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This could potentially be industry as well. I'm wondering when is somebody going to pay me to create a line of baked crabs to send out into the world?
Interesting enough, I saw someone on the status was selling like crab fat in a bag and crab meat, and I was like, interesting. I've never seen that.
I want to talk to them about a little commercial slot, right? But there is a company, might as well call themselves the Crab Factory, but that ain't what their name is. Mm-hmm. And they are providing you your crab in a way that's easier
to use, right? And it's cleaned and everything, right? Yeah, I saw that.
I love it because to preserve culture, you got to make it easier for people
to do the
things.
I agree.
Right? And so I had a customer at first, they were like, sacrilege. You send me to the frozen crab people. And a week later, the customer called back and said, listen, them thing you show me, go grab some of them, please.
There you go.
Right? Okay, another question, coleslaw or potato salad, chef?
Whew. Coleslaw is more Bahamian for me. Potato salad has a little bit more of an American flair, so I like the coleslaw. Yeah, I like coleslaw.
Now,
I like a Bahamian style coleslaw. No raisins though. I'm not a raisin guy in the coleslaw.
Okay.
If I do potato salad, sometimes I try to gourmet it up too much, so maybe sometimes some people might, you know, I might use, you know, the mini creamers as opposed to using the baked potatoes, the regular Idaho potatoes.
Oh, you know, that's a given. And I leave the skins on, and I love garlic in it.
Oh, yeah. Well, I got to have garlic and mustard in mine.
And then I realized that our German cousins, right, they put apple and walnut and thing in the potato salad. And so I like the idea of turning the potato salad into a meal.
Okay.
Right? Like
I'm mad at you.
I may put some grilled meat in my potato salad.
Ain't nothing wrong with that.
I have a text here that says to ask my guest tropical salad or regular conch salad, but to tell him that remember God is watching.
I like the tropical conch salad. You know, when I came back home in 2008, one of the first catering events I did a conch salad shot, and as an appetizer, and I put the mango and pineapple in it. I didn't really know that they were doing that, you know, en masse at the time. And so I've always been sort of, I like the tropical conch salad, but I also mix it up because I'll take a good scorch conch.
Yeah, well, scorch is my favorite, right?
Yeah.
So what we did is that when we saw that the tropical was becoming a trend, our company's focus is on local, right? So how do we make local tropical sustainable, right? So you could get it year round, even if those fruit are not in season. And so we made a mango pepper shot,
okay,
a tamarind pepper shot,
good stuff,
a pineapple pepper shot, pepper sauce in a tube, so that you add the tropical flavor
to it. Right. Because we use mangoes and pineapples, right? And in our gyros and salads. And I'm going to tell you, it's been tough trying to, when mangoes are out of season here locally, sometimes the mangoes we get from South America are not really the tastiest. They're very rubbery. Mm-hmm. And I just was speaking with, I have to go and have a meeting with agriculture because I understand that we can bring in mangoes from Haiti.
Yeah.
Right? And so I'm going to talk to them about how can that be done, right? So like, will I use, you know, couple hundred mangoes a week, at least about 500-600 mangoes a week.
Yeah. So you need a more consistent.
I need a more consistent. Like this morning, I was up and down because my normal store didn't have mangoes. Right. I had to go all the way up to Cable Beach.
And now, and see, I love this conversation for this game show, right? Did you know that there's an island called Mango Island?
I had no idea.
And that's just an aside, because there are so many varieties of mangoes mm-hmm. in the world that you could have a mango or several varieties of mango per month and never
run out.
Never run out.
And that's one of the things that I was asking a farmer about who produces mango. I said, look, if South America, the countries in South America that have a similar climate than ours, can produce mangoes all year round, why mm-hmm. can't we? So maybe we need a different strain of mango, a different type of mango.
We made a mango pepper shot.
Okay.
A pepper tamarind shot, a apple pepper pineapple pepper shot, pepper salt, pepper
right.
too.
Right.
So that you could add tropical flavor
to it. Right. Because, you know, we use mangoes, right? Apples. And in our salad, arrows, and tell you, and I'm going to try and been tough. When the season goes out locally in here, sometimes the mangoes, sometimes from some of those we get, but not North America, they taste really the tastiest. They taste very rubbery. And I just mm-hmm. I'm speaking with the meeting with go and have a culture of agrots because I understand that we can stand in mind and get greedy. It goes from here.
Yeah.
And so, right, I'm going to talk to them. I'd be done. How can, yeah. right? Done. Because I used to use a couple of cases, 100 k mangoes, a couple hundred a week, but five, at least mangoes, 600 mangoes
yeah.
a week.
You need a more consistent.
I was up in the morning, I was down because I almost. And have mine stored right. in mangoes. We're at the Cape all
and now,
the beach.
I love this game mission for this. Did you show right? There's a new island called an Io Island called Mango.
I had yeah. no idea.
It's just an aside. Because there are so many of mangoes in the world. Mangoes, and you could have the mango of a or variety several mangoes of a mango per and
run out.
That's
one of the things a farmer asking who about this mango. Produce. Said, look, South America, if South countries, America, South America, climate have a similar climate than ours, produce mango can be around. Mangoes all can't we? Why can't we? So different, we need a mango, strain type of mango, different type.
In season. And so we made a mango pepper shot.
Okay.
A tamarind pepper shot.
Good stuff.
A pineapple pepper shot. Pepper sauce in a tube so that you can add the tropical flavor.
Good stuff to it. Right. Because, we use mangoes and pineapples, right? And in our gyros and salads. And I'm going to tell you, it's been tough trying to, when mangoes are out of season here locally,